Chapter 7. Visiting. I often saw Wemmick when I visited Jaggers's office, and one day he invited me to spend the evening at his home. We met at the office and walked for an hour until we got to Walworth, where he lived.
"We'll have a very good chicken tonight," he told me. "It's a present from one of our clients. I always accept things like that, if they're easy to carry. There's an aged parent at home. I hope you don't mind."
I told him that of course I didn't.
"Mr. Jaggers will ask you to dinner soon," said Wemmick. "He told me today. You and your three friends. You'll get a good meal there, but it's a strange house. He never locks his doors or windows, you know."
"Is he never robbed?"
"No one is brave enough to try. All of the criminals are frightened of him. They know that they would be hanged."
Walworth was on the edge of London, with a lot of small houses and little gardens. Wemmick's house, with gardens around it, was the smallest house I had ever seen. A flag flew on the roof, and next to the house there was a large gun, like the gun on a ship.
"I call this my castle," said Wemmick. "I fire that gun every evening at 9 o'clock. There's a garden at the back with vegetables and a pig, chickens and rabbits. Now, let's go and meet the aged parent."
We went in and found, sitting by the fire, a very old man. He was clean, happy, comfortable, and very deaf.
"Good evening, aged parent. This is Mr. Pip," said Wemmick, shaking his hand. "Nod at him, Mr. Pip. He likes that."
I nodded and shook the old man's hand.
"My son has built a fine house, hasn't he?"
the old man told me.
"I'm very proud of it."
I nodded again.
"It is a fine house," I said. "I hope Mr. Jaggers likes it."
"He's never seen it," said Wemmick. "Never met the aged parent. The office is one thing, and private life is different. When I go to the office, I leave my home behind, and when I come home, I leave the office behind."
It was now nearly 9 o'clock, and Wemmick went outside to fire the gun. The deaf old man waited patiently until suddenly there was a huge noise and the little house shook.
"He's fired it!" shouted the aged parent. "I heard it!"
The next morning, Wemmick and I walked back to London. His face became more and more wooden as we walked, and when we got to the office, he was Jaggers's unfriendly clerk again. The next day, Jaggers invited me and my friends to dinner.
"Come tomorrow," he said. "Meet me here at the office."
The next afternoon, when Herbert, Startop, Drummle and I arrived at the office, Jaggers was washing his hands and face. He did this after every client. We walked together to his big house and went up the stairs and into the dining room. We talked for a few minutes and then the housekeeper came in with the food and we sat down at the table. The housekeeper was a woman of about 40, and she looked nervous. At the end of the meal, we talked about rowing. We were arguing about which of us was the strongest. The housekeeper was taking the plates off the table when suddenly Jaggers took her hand.
"I'll show you a strong person," he said to us. "Show them your hands, Molly."
She did not want to, but Jaggers held her hand up and Molly held the other next to it. I noticed deep scars on one of her wrists, and both looked very strong.
"I've seen a lot of hands," said Jaggers, "and these are the strongest I've ever seen on a woman or a man. Thank you, Molly. You can go."
"Dear Mr. Pip, I am writing this for Joe Gargery. He is visiting London and would like to meet you at your apartment on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Please let me know if another time is better for you. With very best wishes, Biddy."
This letter arrived on Monday morning, so I had only a day to get ready. I was not very happy about the visit. I owed a lot to Joe, but I was ashamed of him too, and if I could stop him coming, I would. When I told Herbert about the visit, he was thoughtful and helpful and suggested what we could give Joe for breakfast when he arrived. On Tuesday morning, I heard Joe's heavy shoes on the stairs. He stopped at the top. He was trying to read the notice on the door, and then knocked once. I opened the door and brought him in.
"Joe, how are you?"
"Pip, how are you?"
His good, honest face was shining. He put his hat down on the floor between us and shook both my hands.
"I'm pleased to see you, Joe. Shall I take your hat?"
But Joe did not want to give it up and held it while we talked.
"You've grown," said Joe, "and you look more like a gentleman now. I'm proud of you."
"And you look well, Joe."
"I am," said Joe. "Your sister is no worse, and Biddy is very well, and all of our friends."
I saw from Joe's face that Herbert had come into the room behind me, so I introduced them. Herbert put out his hand, but Joe held on to his hat with both of his. We invited Joe to sit down for breakfast. He was wearing his best clothes, and he looked very uncomfortable and nervous. He still did not know what to do with his hat, but finally he put it on a small shelf by the fire. It fell off every few minutes.
"Would you like tea or coffee?" asked Herbert.
"I'll have what you think is best, sir," said Joe.
Herbert poured Joe some tea. The hat fell off the shelf and Joe put it back. Joe sat a long way from the table, catching his hat every time it fell. He had trouble using his fork, dropping more food than he ate. I was very pleased when Herbert left for work.
"Now we're alone, sir," Joe said to me. "I can tell you why I've come. I'm glad that I've been able to see you as a gentleman, but I had another reason to come. Miss Havisham wanted to see me, so I went to Satty's house, and she told me that Estella was home, and Estella wants to see you. I asked Biddy to write to you. I've finished now, sir."
He stood up.
"You're not going now, Joe?"
"Yes."
"But you'll come back for dinner?"
Joe looked at me.
"Pip," he said, "it's not good for you and me to be together in London. I'm not proud, but I want to be in the right place, and London isn't right for me. I'm wrong in these clothes, but I'm right at the forge, or in the kitchen, or on the marshes. You'll think better of me if you come to the forge and see me at work in my right place."
He touched me gently on the head and went out. I was thinking hard and could not move for a minute or two. Then I tried to follow him, but he had disappeared.